On today's episode of the Grizz Podcast, you're going to hear the second part of my recent conversation with the Dobber, Matt Dobschutz from the Porn Free Radio Podcast. Listen, guys, you really need to focus and heed what the Dobber says in this episode, because he drops some life-changing truth that will help you break free from porn addiction. Dobber specifically talks about, number one, the importance of training ourselves to turn to the source of living water, which is God, instead of the broken cistern of porn. Number two, he also talks about a very bizarre encounter that he had with some sort of evil being or evil presence in his apartment at the very beginning of his recovery from porn. It was right after he took a major step to prevent himself from looking at porn. And number three, he also hits on what's really going on when we as men start dabbling with stuff that's not technically porn, but we know it's not good. We know it's not godly. And you guys totally know what I'm talking about, because we've all done it. The cool thing is, Dobber helps us understand what we're really doing during those times and why we need to pay attention to that dabbling or edging. Man, I freaking love what Dobber drops on us in the second part of this conversation. I got so much from it. Oh, and at the very end, I also read some recent reviews and feedback that I received from some of our listeners. So here we go with part deux.
You're listening to the Grizz Podcast. It's gonna be raw, it's gonna be real, and it's gonna be relevant. We're here to guide, encourage, and equip you to live the manly life that God is calling you to live. It's time for you to step up and man up. That's what God expects, and that's what this jacked up world desperately needs. Now here's our host, itinerant speaker, Jason George.
When you're dealing with the guys that are deep in porn addiction, they're coming to you for coaching, recovery, I know they need a battle plan. They've got to start implementing good habits. They've got to set up guardrails, boundaries, things like that. But you're trying to also peel back with them and find out what is that deeper need, that thing that you're looking for, that you're missing, that you're turning to porn for it, but there's something else going on. Is that what you're doing? And if it is, what are some of the things you're uncovering?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely think that's part of it. It's like we want to get people sober, but the bigger goal is to get people in touch with the source of living water that doesn't run out.
Okay.
To get them in the habit of going to places that actually recharge, refresh, restore them, that actually deal with the thirst.
There's something that I want our listeners to hear, because I think it'll help them. The guys that are listening, that are really trying to get out of porn addiction, and are fighting, they're starting to implement some kind of a plan, they're taking steps. You said one time on your podcast that when you started getting hardcore serious, I think it was some story about destroying a modem or something that you could have accessed porn, you took this incredible step where you're like, I'm not doing it, this is done. And I mean, you took some radical steps, radical amputation to end it, and you would think that it was like, oh, in the moment I did it, I was so elated with joy and the peace of God that surpasses all understanding came upon me. You encountered something very bizarre and very different. I want you to tell that story. I want our listeners to hear it, because some of them might experience something similar, and they might go, what the heck is wrong with me? So go ahead, man. I don't want to give it away too much.
No. Yeah, I'm glad you reminded me of this. So I had this, event that happened in my life at the beginning of recovery where my wife caught me downloading pornography. And maybe some guys have had this experience where their wife catches them, or there's some sort of moment where their secret comes out. And a lot of us, I think, well, now that my secret's out, now that she caught me, well, that's going to make it a lot easier to deal with this because, now it's out. I don't have to hide anymore. And I saw how hard she took it. So that's right. That's going to give me enough incentive to make the right choice with this thing. So I don't really have to do much more. Just knowing that it hurt my wife and knowing that it's out in the open now is going to make it easier to deal with. And again, dealing with an addiction or dealing with that sort of pattern that we've created in our life, it doesn't go away that easy. I'm sure Shannon, before he grabbed those stacks of cash, thought, hey, I got a problem with gambling. He was aware, but he still was struggling. Well, it was the same with me. About 30 days went by after this sort of dramatic mountaintop moment, where watershed moment, where my wife caught me downloading pornography, and I hadn't taken any action. I just kind of, all I did was I was really sorry. I kind of stayed away from the computer, didn't really tell anybody. But she had to go out of town. So this is the first time she's out of town in 30 days. And immediately she goes out of town, and I tried to plan some stuff on Friday night to fill up my night, kind of stay busy. That's one thing we like to do. Mm-hmm. We think that if we just stay busy, then we won't go to porn. So that's what I did. I tried to be busy. Well, it's 11 o'clock at night. It's Friday night. I get this idea. I had this modem down in the basement that had been broken. It wasn't working. And my wife took our actual modem at the time. This is back in the days when you had a modem connected to your computer. So she took the whole thing with her to San Francisco.
Was it AOL?
No, I'm kind of a, I was an internet guy. So we had a kind of a cool, some other connection.
It was better than the.
No, we had that, but it was like straight to the internet. There was no like AOL or CompuServe. It was like straight internet.
Ah, CompuServe. I remember that. Okay. Sorry, man. Squirrel.
Yeah, no problem. And so I get this idea. Hey, I had this old modem. I get it back up into my computer and I work on kind of doing some things to it and installing some stuff. And after an hour or two of work, I get this thing going, and it did exactly what you said. It connected, and that's when I knew I was on the internet. And back in those days, when my computer would connect, the browser would pop up and it would be on Yahoo. This is before Google. And so it pops up to the Yahoo homepage. And it actually scared me. When that thing logged on and I heard the, I almost, I was going to start Porn Free Radio back in the day when I started my first theme. I was going to have that as the beginning of the podcast, and I forgot that idea. But anyway, that's kind of how it connected. And I actually jumped out of the office because that scared me. Mm-hmm. Because I essentially thought, I set this boundary with my wife that I wouldn't go on the internet when she was gone, and I've already broken it. Mm-hmm. I've already betrayed her trust by doing this thing with creating the modem. A lot mm-hmm. of times, I learned this later in recovery, is, sometimes we lie to ourselves like, well, I haven't looked at porn yet, so I really haven't done anything wrong. Well, I had made a boundary with her that I had already crossed. Now, mm-hmm. was it as bad as binging on porn all weekend? No, but it's still unsound activity. Mm-hmm. It's still something that you need to check in with your accountability partner about. If you start creating boundaries and go past them, even if you don't look at porn, it's still a problem.
But can I say something real quick?
Yeah.
That is something that I've been under a lot of guys that have helped me with recovery, but that is something you personally have helped me to see that I was missing. my check-in often consisted of, hey, did you look at porn? Did you act out? That kind of thing. And you helped me understand that when I'm doing my check-in, I need to be answering those questions, even about edging. Did you keep your phone locked up? All the things that I have in my plan. I'm not going to get into all of that, because if we catch that early, we can prevent the acting out, the total fall. And that's good stuff. Like, I think a lot of guys would blow off what you just did. Well, yeah, you got on the internet, but you didn't see anything. But like, yo, man, that needs to be confessed, get it out, deal with it, because you know where that's going to go.
Right. So let me just pick up the story. So I'm standing there in the doorway, and I'm looking at the cursor blinking. I can see it about 10 feet away on the computer. And I mean, when I tell this story a lot of times in person, I kind of say that I felt like, you know, the cursor was blinking and I could feel my heart beating, you know, it was almost like boom, 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 boom. I could see that cursor going off. And so I was standing there going, man, am I going to do this again? Jeez, I just literally am not even 30 days away from these teary nights of confession and being exposed before my wife and not wanting to betray her again. And here it is, first time she's out of town, boom, I'm right back installing a modem that was broken, fixing it, getting online at 1 a.m, 2 a.m, you know, like nothing good can come from this scenario. But I had a kind of a thought that was a little crazy, a little insane, that if I could pull that modem out, and it was literally an integrated modem inside the computer, if I could pull out that card and you know, destroy it, then I would cut off access that night. And so I ran to the kitchen, grabbed a hammer, ran back to this big tower computer. Think of, you know, the computers from the mid-90s, you know, late-90s. I ripped open this big, the hood of the computer, ripped out the card, didn't even turn it off, probably could have electrocuted myself. And then I start beating the crap out of this this modem. And those things are hard to break. They're made out of this, like, plastic in Asia that just is unbreakable. I was banging it and nothing. I mean, literally the first couple of hits, it didn't even affect it. Like, I'm sure it still would have worked.
Wow.
So I banged it and banged it and banged it. It's funny. I have another friend who did the same thing at one point in his recovery. And he said, I think he rolled over it with his car because he couldn't get it to feel like it was breaking.
I love it. That's grizzly.
Yeah. So anyway, I thought that was the end of the story. You know, Jason, that's the end of the anecdote. Victory. Woo. You know, I'm a man. Yeah. I'm like one of those men on a porn-free website, you know, with his hands up in the air in a field.
Oh, yeah.
But what happened next was shocking, and I think this is what you're getting to. I immediately sensed a dark presence in my apartment. And this is like nothing I experienced before. I was so scared. I ran from room to room and turned on every light in my house. When I say every light, if there was a light by my table, an overhead light, bathroom lights, vanity lights, I turned on every light and I still felt the darkness. And I went to different rooms in the house. I went to the kitchen. I felt the darkness. I ran to the living room. I felt the darkness. It was oppressive. And I was so desperate that I called my wife. And I felt a lot of shame because, again, I'd crossed a boundary that I had agreed with her, but I was so desperate I needed help. So I called her. And I remember I called her from the hallway in the middle of the apartment. And I was on the floor. And I couldn't find a safe place to go in the house. So I'm literally like just in the hallway, huddled on the floor. And I start to tell her what happened. And, you know, she at first thought I had done something, you know, dangerous or binged or something. And because I'm crying. Yeah. And so she starts to assess what happened. And I say, I haven't you know, I didn't look at anything, but I did this thing. I set up this computer, and now I'm scared. And so she immediately started praying for me. And it didn't help. And she said, you know, if you're still scared when you hang up the phone, get your stuff and go to your sister's house, your brother-in-law and sister's house. Mm-hmm. And so I said, okay. And I hung up the phone. I waited a minute or two. Darkness is still there. And I literally, grabbed my keys, grabbed my wallet, and just made it, ran out the door. Just like I don't even know if I locked the apartment. I just left all the lights on. Mm-hmm. And you know, to this day, and I know you maybe have some thoughts about it. I don't know how to interpret it, you know, but this is one thing I learned from that experience. When we go after the things that have trapped our heart, it's a fight. Mm-hmm. You know, closing the doors to addiction disrupts the spiritual order that controls this world. Mm. You know?
Say that again one more time.
When we go after the things that trapped our heart, it's a fight. And closing the door to addiction disrupts the spiritual order that controls this world.
Here you took this incredibly godly and biblical step in obedience, doing what God would want you to do, and you sensed an evil presence of some sort. And I'm not going to sit here and say I totally understand exactly what was going on in that moment, whether it was a demon or whatever, but there was something going on there. And I love that you said the main thing that you wanted guys to get, and that's what I want them to get, is as you're taking steps to get out of addiction, to find freedom, recovery, do not misinterpret Matt or myself or this whole process that it's going to be so easy and there's going to be so much peace and joy all the time. There's things that are going to oppose you. And the biggest thing is going to be your own sinful flesh and your own mind and the stuff that you've already put in your hard drive, the way you act. But there is a spiritual element, an enemy that will come against you. And I've experienced some similar things in my life as I've taken steps, not just with finding freedom out of addiction, but as I've taken steps to really make an effort to reach people with the gospel. I had no idea how much I would encounter similar things like you just described, evil presence, oppressive, debilitating, a spirit of confusion that comes over myself, that I know there's something going on. And I've seen it lift. I've seen it go away. But as I've talked to some other guys that are engaging in the battle big time, they're like, oh, yeah, man, that's par for the course. It happens. And I'm not one of these guys, Matt, that blames the devil for everything. And there's a demon under every rock and blah, blah, blah. Those people get on my nerves. But I just wanted guys to hear that story, bro. I wanted them to hear that there was something going on. There was a fight, and they need to know that. So,
yeah, you know, and I like telling that, and it's you can't just stop there. That we're oppressed because yeah, there is a spiritual, principle in this, but you know, we're not just oppressed. We're very much invested in hanging on to our sin. And the reason why is it provides comfort, or it tries to. Mm-hmm. And so we're very complicit in this. And that's what I think, again, about this idea of addiction. There's that part of us that on the outside looking in, we're like those Israelites making a golden calf. It seems a little weird. Like, why do we keep going to this thing? Why does that guy keep looking at porn? Doesn't he know that God meets his needs, and doesn't he know that this is there's sin in here and this kind of stuff? But the truth is that becomes the thing, the way that we try to meet our own needs. And that's what I did. I developed a relationship with porn out of a lie that of believing that I was unlovable. You know, when I was a kid, there was some trauma that happened in my family. I kind of got that message. Nothing my parents necessarily did overtly. It just, I sort of interpreted the trauma and some of the events after that to that I was unlovable. And so when I found porn, it seemed to provide a temporary salve to that wound, you know, that aching aloneness that I felt.
Definitely.
And it was a way that I self-soothed. And so I kept going back to that source. It was like that little water source in my life that I could go back to, that was mine, that I controlled. And so...
Well, let me ask you one more thing, man.
Yeah.
One of the things that I feel like is missing a lot of times in helping guys out of recovery is helping them understand not just there's opposition. Like we said, there might be spiritual opposition, but... think about a guy that's been entrenched in porn for 20 some years, and he's masturbating, and we know all the stuff that we're learning about with brain chemistry that goes on, and then he's going to cold turkey, he's going to get out of it, he's going to start following a program. I don't feel like we are preparing them and warning them, not just about spiritual opposition that may take place in the life of a believer, but also withdrawal symptoms, because there are things that you've been doing to self-soothe, and now you're not going to give that to your body, your brain. What have you experienced, whether it's with yourself or maybe guys you're working with? Do they get hit with some serious withdrawal stuff like you would if, like, hey, man, I put the crack pipe away?
Yeah. You know? Well, I mean, that back to that story, you know, destroying the modem did not bring relief. It brought terror. I mean, I felt exposed, alone. I had to ask for help. It was humiliating. It was the exact opposite of hiding in comfort. You know, and a lot of guys, that's the it's not always going to be that dramatic.
Yeah.
But those withdrawal symptoms, and I'm putting the quotes, the air quotes up.
Yeah.
The withdrawal symptoms that people experience a lot of times come out of that discomfort. Yeah, there can be physical discomfort when you're used to compulsively masturbating all the time, and there can be that sense of like, I'm not getting some sort of rush, or I'm not getting something that I've gotten used to. My body's gotten used to receiving. You can feel signs of depression. You can be angry, irritable, just like if you gave up coffee, or if you gave up some other sort of stimulant.
Yeah,
I mean, all those things are in play. I think those things are temporary for the most part. Some of those physical ones and some of those that experience, but long term. You know, I used to say in the first 5 years of recovery to my wife, I sometimes, you know, and luckily we got to this point where we could communicate, and what not everything I shared triggered her.
Okay.
But I remember saying, I miss porn. I even told her this recently, a couple years ago. I had lost a job and I was at home, and I go, man, I got these long days. I'm feeling some rejection from how it ended at my old job. I'm doing some things I'm not used to, where I don't feel a lot of confidence. And gosh, this would be a time that I would use porn. Like, this was where I would use that soothing. I'm sitting with this uncomfortable emotion and feeling, and I just have to feel it. You know, and that was part of the growth for me. I remember one time a guy called me. It was early in recovery. I tell this story a lot. He called me, and I remember where I was driving. I was driving up Davis Street in Evanston, which is a town right next to Chicago. And he calls me, and I answer the phone. Hopefully, I was hands-free. Don't call me out if I... It might have been before the law. But I pick up the phone, and he's like, how are you doing today? And I go, I'm down. And he said, I'm sorry. You know, that's what we say when someone says they're down, right? Or they're not feeling...
Yeah.
And I said, no, don't be sorry. I said, I'm feeling down today. I'm just feeling down, a little depressed, but I'm not using porn. I'm just feeling the feeling, and this is new to me.
Mm-hmm.
I went through my teenage years and my 20s numbing out. I didn't feel any of the good feelings. I didn't feel any of the bad feelings. I just was flat. And so, you know, that's part of it. And part of it is that need, you know, got back to that idea that, you know, we're turning back to the source. You know, it takes knowing our thirst, knowing some of that emptiness.
Mm-hmm.
That's the thing that makes us dependent on the Lord and makes us turn back and really go towards, you know, towards that source. There's this great quote, and maybe you've heard it. It's in Mere Christianity. I hate guys who just quote things and you don't know where it's from. So C.S. Lewis writes this in Mere Christianity. He says, he's talking about the Christian way, and he says the Christian way is different. And he says Christ says this, and he's kind of talking about what Christ is calling us to. And he says, mm-hmm. Christ says, give me all. I don't want so much of your money and so much of your work. I want you.
Mm.
I have not come to torment the natural self, but to kill it.
Mm.
I don't want to cut a branch off here or there. I want the whole tree down.
Mm.
Hand over the whole natural self. All the desires which you think are innocent as well as the ones that you think wicked.
Mm.
And I will give you a new self instead.
Mm.
In fact, I will give you myself. Mm-hmm. My own will shall become yours.
Mm.
I love that idea of Christ isn't calling us to just kind of limp along.
Mm-hmm.
And nurse our addiction and kind of, you know, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's not calling us to a little bit of discomfort here and there. He wants to change this whole process.
Mm-hmm.
He wants us to replace these little ways that we're siphoning off water for ourselves and mm-hmm. replace it with a source of water that really meets the needs.
Yeah. But what I want guys to get, man, that I think is misunderstood, I misunderstood this, is awesome. Now I want to come to the altar and come to Jesus because he's going to give me something better. But we fail a lot of times to let guys know it can often feel worse before it gets better. And you've got to let yourself feel those things, like you saying that you felt the depression. And instead of getting overly upset about it or getting more depressed over the depression, you just sat with it. It could be a major feeling of anxiety. It could be irritability, anything like that. It could be just I'm so down. Like I've had days like that, and I want to go back to porn, like you've said. I don't feel like that's being told to guys enough. They need to hear that you walk through that. I'm walking through that. I still get days like that. But that's what we've been missing, man. Like, we have not embraced those things, and we haven't looked at those issues. We haven't gone to God with it, or Christian brother, which is also a way of going to God with it, I believe.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. And I think it's a longer road, too. It's also, you know, I don't know how many times I talk to guys who I'm like, well, what have you done to try to let go of porn? And they'll talk about, well, I did one thing, or I told one person, or I, you know, installed a filter, and that's it. There's not, but again, just like this C.S. Lewis quote, this isn't just taking one branch down. It's about getting the whole tree. And if you really want to get free from porn, if you really want to experience everything that God has for you, it's about getting out of the pit. It's about doing what it takes to press into community and connection that actually allows the whole tree to come out.
Hmm.
And it's it takes a while. And I think deep down there's a lot of us that think, and I know I thought this for years, is, well, I just need to get control of this thing. Mm-hmm. You know, or, you know, I want to keep just the ability, like I want to leave a back door for myself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because when it gets really hard, when I'm feeling bad, then I want this thing to be able to fall back on.
Yeah, they still want, they want my precious. They don't want to throw the freaking ring in the fire of Mordor. They want to hang on to it.
The ring must be destroyed.
Exactly. And so, yeah, I think that that's part of what we're calling guys to, and what we are experiencing is it's replacing how you do life.
Mm-hmm.
If you've grown up with this thing, and most guys have, you know, you and I are getting older, we're old school, but everyone coming up behind us grew up with broadband internet.
Yep.
Got really entrenched in meeting their own needs, and they're having a lot of challenges with relationship, with sexuality, with staying pure, and so they need a different way of living. They mm-hmm. There's no way that you're going to be able to do this by one branch solution at a time. You know, there's no way you're going to be able to really. You're going to have to fundamentally change the way that you relate to technology, the way you connect to others, the way that you do life, because there's no room to have the cistern under your house.
Yeah. And that's the thing too, man. I'm so glad you said that. It isn't that I just separated from the bad things. It isn't just that I cut things off and that I implemented some boundaries or guardrails, whatever you want to call them. I also went after good things. I began to pursue a community group with guys, and I couldn't find one to go to. So I started one, and I had five guys that said, I'll come to that. And then I sought out, even my online accountability group with a mentor. I do that through X3 groups, man. I went to that, and you've got to do that. You've got to pursue those things. I started pursuing more intimacy with my wife, and I'm not talking about sexual intimacy, but more like, we need more date nights. I need more time to talk with you. And she sometimes laughs at me. She goes, I swear you're the girl in the relationship. I need that. I need talk time. I need time with her. And she can laugh at me, you know, and I'm fine with it. But it's like, okay, like that is what I've been needing, not porn. Porn is not what I need. I need real intimacy with a human being that loves me. I love her. So it's not just the whole cut off, separate, man. It's, we've got to go after these things. It's like you're saying, it's a total overhaul. It's a new way to be human is what we're trying to do here.
Yeah. And, you know, back to that, that experience I had the in the apartment.
Oh yeah.
You know, the cool thing about that event was for one night, I got a picture of how big this thing was. And whether it was internal, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if it was the enemy filling my apartment or whether it was my own craziness inside getting anxious or whatever, you know, a secular person might've said I had a panic attack. A very spiritual person might've said there were, you know, oppressive forces flowing through my apartment. Either way, the level of drama that happened pointed me to, this is not a Matt problem.
Yeah.
This is not even a Matt and Janice and God problem. Oh, you know, where it's like just me and my wife are going to hunker down and we'll figure this out. This is, Matt needs to go to a group. Matt needs lots of support.
Yeah.
Matt needed that night to go to Jeff and Maggie's house.
Yeah.
At 4 a.m, literally 4 a.m. By the time all that came out and got done, I looked at my watch. It was like 4 when I was ringing their bell. So it's like I needed more than just a little strategy.
Yeah.
You know, I did the little strategy. I deleted that, beat up that modem or, you know, that wasn't enough.
Yep. Well, like, man, I want to go there for a second. You said that was a realization that this is so much bigger than just Matt. This is a big deal with whatever that was. If it was something demonic, some evil spirit, some spiritual oppression, whatever, I want guys to hear that because it is a big deal coming free and getting out of porn. I believe it's the number one thing that's holding most Christian men back. Not all of them, but most Christian men. And I had a guy even last week, he said to me, he goes, man, you guys talk about porn a lot, and I don't struggle with that. I struggle with other issues. And I'm like, hey, I get that. It's not the only thing we're going to talk about. But on the Grizz podcast, we are going to deal with this a lot because this is what so many guys are struggling with. And I can't help but wonder, if I was the enemy, if I was some kind of demon to come against Matt, if he was like my patient, like with C.S. Lewis, the Screwtape Letters, the guy I'm going to focus on to try to take out, and I saw you making that breakthrough where you're destroying the modem, you're getting hardcore with it, and you're going to call your wife, and you're going to say, this is what I did, I shouldn't have done this, blah, blah, blah. I'm telling you, I see everything I've been working towards with Matt, destroying him, his marriage, keeping him on the sidelines spiritually. You weren't really doing anything to impact lives like you are now. Now it's like, whoa, man. In the enemy's mind, they're like, this is about to go down. This is not good. This guy's going to get free. What's going to happen when he gets free? How is God going to start using him? I wonder if some of these guys that are listening to this, listen to me, guys, what if you get free of this and God calls you to something like this where you're helping other guys get free, or God may call you to plant a church, or God may call you to, I don't know, start a mentor group with young people. I don't want to always make it the, hey, become a pastor or a missionary. It might just be that you become one heck of a husband and a father and an awesome grandfather. And now there's this spiritual legacy, this lineage that you've started. Like, good night. You've got to, man, this is so much bigger than just you. And yeah, I got this little porn problem. So that's what I hear you kind of saying, Matt. And I'm just like praising God that you got free, man, and that you're doing what you're doing.
Yeah, I mean, you never know. I mean, that whole thing could have been about trying to take out the potential ministry impact that maybe my life would have. I mean, mm-hmm. You know, and it could have been, well, take it out early, and then that'll delay what God wants to do or what the potential is. And, yep. You know, and so...
I think it was John Eldridge one time, and I think he gets some of this from Neil T. Anderson, who deals with some of the spiritual warfare stuff. But he said that one of the tactics of the enemy is that they want to stay incognito. They don't want you to think they're real. They don't want you in there to know that they're involved in anything in your life. But once they are beginning to be exposed, their next tactic is fear. They will try to bring on fear and scare the crap out of you, blah, blah, blah. And that's where we got to go back to
right. The
spiritual armor passage and realize, man, the way that we quench the flame and arrows of the evil one, which one of them is fear, is you got to have the shield of faith, man. You got to trust God. God is bigger. Jesus is mightier than any of that.
That idea of trying to avoid God and meet my own needs, you know, that's just something that when guys a lot of times are dabbling, you know, mm-hmm. They're not binging on porn, but they're kind of doing little searches, little errands mm-hmm. Back to these sort of sinful behaviors, you know, doing little web searches, taking double looks, those kind of things. When I start catching myself starting to go towards those things, that's a real clear indication that I'm trying to meet my own needs. Mm. And it's unsound activity. It's me not depending on God. And, you know, let's be honest, we can catch those things a lot earlier than the big porn binge. Mm. Usually by the time the big porn binge happens, we're pretty resigned to just sinning and acting out and just turning our backs on God. But it's those little things where we can catch ourselves early on going, wait a second, what am I looking for by scanning this woman who's passing me on the street. What need am I trying to meet?
Yeah. I'm so glad you say that. Like, that's helping me. You've helped me with that. Like, when I got back last weekend from speaking at a men's event in New Hampshire, I'm pretty worn out. I'm spiritually drained. And I'm on my phone, and I'm at a news site or something, but there was this bikini model for a Dallas Cowboy cheerleader or whatever, and I saw that, and man, I wanted to go there. And, you know, in your mind, you're doing this whole thing like a lot of us do. Well, it's not technically porn. I wanted to go there. And thankfully, I got out of there. I knew where it was going to lead. It wasn't going to be enough. And I notified my accountability partner, who's a good friend of mine, and I just said, man, this hot-looking Dallas Cowboy cheerleader sitting there in a bikini, and I wanted more, and I need to get this out, that it was there. And so some guys, they don't get that, you know, well, I don't see the problem. You didn't actually look at porn. So finish that for us, man. Like, why is that a good idea to get that out?
Well, once you start looking at these things, not as, did I look at porn or not, that kind of black and white thinking, when you start looking at it as needs and where are you moving towards? Are you moving towards that source of living water? Mm. Or are you moving towards a cistern that you've hewn out for yourself, your own control? Once you start looking at things in your battle, and I use that word very infrequently on Porn Free Radio, but in your battle, if you start looking at things from that perspective, you could be doing things like just not checking in with your accountability partner. On the surface, it just looks like, hey, I missed a phone call. But internally, what is that say? Are you moving towards the spirit, the fountain of living water? Are you moving towards what God has for you? Or are you moving back to self-dependence and controlling the water supply yourself? There's lots of unsound activity that don't show up on the stat sheet. We say that in football a lot of times. You know, there's these, you know, when you're a cornerback in football, and I know you love the Dallas Cowboys. I have no idea why, but but again, you know, we can't explain it. But you know, a lot of times a cornerback, if he's really good, he's defending his man and his routes are cut off, and that guy's just not catching any passes. There's no interceptions on his side. He doesn't have any tackles, but it's super important.
You know? But they know they can't throw to him.
Right. They know they can't throw to him. And so it's like, I think a lot of times we get in the idea of well, if it doesn't show up on the stat sheet, it's not important, you know. If it's whatever. But the truth is, the things we do matters to the way that things go. And I just realized my metaphor breaks down here. But the point of it is there's a lot of things that we do potentially that could be unsound, that don't even seem like things we need to confess, but if you use the litmus test of, am I trying to meet my own needs or am I going to God? It's really clear. It's totally black and white.
Yeah, that's good.
Not calling my accountability partner is actually trying to meet my own needs. You know, not being fully honest about something.
Cool.
I remember I had a friend once come to me and said, she was in recovery for alcohol. And she said, Matt, a couple of weeks ago, you called me and asked me this and I lied. It was just a random lie. And I'm like, I don't even remember the lie or it doesn't even hurt me. And she goes, I have to tell you because I'm entrenched in lying and it's tying into my addiction. It's like, it's pointing to the fact that I'm trying to control my own water supply. I'm trying to meet my own needs. And I was doing it through projecting an image or telling you one thing and really internally there was something else going on. So she,
dude, you know, we all do that more than we realize. Go ahead.
Absolutely. So, all right. Well, hey, man, thanks for having me back on. And gosh, I love listening to your podcast. I love that theme. Gosh, that gets me amped up.
No, likewise, man. I took some stuff over to the dump this morning, and I listened to the latest episode of the Porn Free Radio podcast. And I want to encourage all the guys listening to the Grizz podcast to subscribe to Matt's podcast. There's so much good information there. He hits things from such a different avenue than I hit it. Sometimes, and I love that, man, you know, and the multitude of counselors, there's just incredible wisdom. So take advantage of it, man. And if you do not throw down some old school beats and rap in the next couple episodes, man, I might have to unsubscribe or something, bro.
I don't know, man. You know, I feel like it's already played out. I did a rap a couple weeks
ago. That's not played out, bro.
I did a rap, and then you came up and basically bit my style by, you know, just doing the same thing. So now I feel like I got to get next level on you. This is another secret that I haven't talked about on Porn for Radio, but I love Swedish metal. There's a couple of just really hardcore bands, almost, you know, that kind of sounding stuff. I love it. So I don't know. I might have to go In Flames or Shadows Fall or some of these other bands. I might have to do something like that. I don't know. But that's my other sort of hidden genre of music that I love that my family hates. So when I'm in the car alone, I'm listening to just crazy stuff. And then when they get in the car, it's all Bieber and Selena Gomez and,
oh, brother,
Chainsmokers and stuff like that. So
no, I'm telling you, man, like when the next time somebody just really ticks me off, before I send some email that I shouldn't send, or I say something I shouldn't say, because you've taught me, you have mentored me now, bro, I'm just going to go down in the Grizz Cave and I'm going to put on some old school rap and I'm just going to go off.
The funny thing is you did Mama Said Knock You Out. That literally, I was thinking about this. That would have been probably my second song, because it's just so, don't you dare ever compare, you know. Yeah. I was singing along with you. I know most of those words off the top of my head from the old days. So that's a good one to come back at haters with. So never did hear from the guy that I called out.
Yeah.
So I think he stopped listening.
Oh, yeah. I don't know, man. Some of those guys crack me up. I'm like, jeez, they're so bold behind a computer screen. I need to be quiet. Anyway, thanks for being on the podcast, man. I really appreciate everything that you're doing with your podcast. I appreciate you just being real, not being afraid to say things the way that they really are, and also just share hard stuff about your past, man. Just, I love it, and guys need to hear it, man. And I'll get you back on here soon.
All right, man.
Peace out. See you.
I wanted to wrap up this episode just by reading a few recent ratings and reviews that we got on iTunes for the Grizz podcast. And I also got in a couple of emails from some of our listeners. So the first review, the listener gave us 5 stars and he titles it New Listener. And this is what he writes. I have dealt with a porn addiction my whole life, but only started to fight it 7 years ago. It's refreshing to find a podcast that talks about biblical purity and manhood. Thank you. You got a Grizz Tribe member as long as you do it. Man, that's really encouraging. Thank you for taking time to leave that rating and review. The next one comes from Jay Cardi, and he gave us 5 stars, and he titles his review, We Have a Gift in the Grizz. And this is what he writes. If you're looking for God's word, straight up honesty with a large helping of accountability, then the Grizz is your new home. Discussions about real challenges most men experience, but only some are brave enough to discuss. A real man can admit when change is needed and conviction is necessary. Jason, you live out Matthew 5:16, brother. Proud to be blazing a trail with you in the Northeast. Well, thank you so much, Jay Cardi, for that rating and review. One thing I do want to say, and it's a little bit of a correction, but I mean this in love, brother. There is no accountability by listening to the Grizz podcast. There's none. You get no accountability by listening to the Grizz podcast. The Grizz podcast will help guide you, encourage you, and equip you, but you've got to seek out accountability with some sort of a godly person, a support group, or even an online support group like X3 Groups. Merely listening to the Grizz podcast is not enough. Just had to say that. Before I wrap up, I also have two emails that I recently received that I want to share here on this episode. The first one really excited me because it comes from all the way across the pond, the big pond. This is what he says. Hi, Jason. The Grizz podcast is really just awesome. It's amazing. It's powerful, has a high level of authenticity, and is so relatable. My name is Armand. I'm 16 years old, and I live in South Africa. I have an addiction to porn and masturbation, but I'm fighting against it. I'm in a group that has helped me fight against it and to stay accountable for my actions. I really did struggle to break free from it, because I had a false perception of what it is to be a man. And the two episodes that explained what it is to be a real man of God, they helped me so much I can't even begin to explain. My father was never a good example of how a man should be, and I started to act like a man according to the world, which led to porn addiction and masturbation problems. It started when I was about 12 years old, and about a year ago, I realized it's a real problem. I did try resisting the temptation and had other strategies to stay clean, but it didn't work because I still had that issue with what does it mean to be a man? And your podcast helped me to understand what a real man is and also to have a powerful and clear example of a real man. I just wanted to tell my story and talk about how your podcast has really helped equip me to fight against porn and masturbation much smarter and just using a lot of practical advice. I would also like to give you some encouragement to keep doing the podcast. I don't know the struggles you have to face or what you got to endure, what you got to sacrifice to do the podcast, but don't stop. Don't stop for nothing. It's having a big impact in guys' lives, not only in America or Europe, but also in Africa. It's reaching places you don't even know about or you thought haven't been reached yet. But it has. It's like a ripple in the wave. It is having a bigger impact than you thought it would have and spreading faster than you think. So whenever you feel like you're not the right person for this and you don't know what you're doing, remember this truth that a person told me: God anoints those who he has appointed. You're appointed by God to do this, and he will anoint you to keep doing this. Read that again. Let it sink in your heart. I pray that God blesses you in every aspect of your life, from your relationships to your finances. I hope he will keep using you to touch people's hearts. And I hope you continue and also enjoy creating the Grizz podcast. And I hope this encourages you. Armand, my man, my brother from another mother over in South Africa, thank you. It does encourage me. And I'm so proud of you for freaking fighting the fight. Keep it up, man. Thank you so much for listening to the Grizz podcast. I mean that sincerely. I don't care where you're tuning in from, man. Africa, Spain, Ireland, South America, Mexico, Canada. We are seeing listeners from all over the world. We don't know who you are. We just know where you're coming in from. We can see that on our metadata. Thank you for listening. I would love to hear from you. Shoot me an email, jason@narrowtrail.com. Tell me a little bit about you. Tell me about your story. How'd you hear about the Grizz podcast? How'd you find us? And as always, guys, please take a minute. If you haven't done it yet, I'm going to slap you, okay? Leave us a rating and review on iTunes. Help us grow this thing. Help us expand this thing. It's not about me, man. It's about God. It's about helping other men, Christian men, really become better men. Come on, man. Help us.
Been listening to the Grizz podcast. and outreach of Narrow Trail Ministries Incorporated. If this podcast has been helping to guide, encourage, and equip you to live the manly life that God's calling you to live, then please consider partnering with us by giving a tax-exempt donation to our nonprofit ministry. Your financial gift will help us continue to improve and expand our impact around the world. You can make your secure online donation at thegrizzpodcast.com. Now, it's time to take what you've learned and chew on it. And then you need to step up, man up, and go live it out. Grizzin', you know what I'm saying.